All right. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen and everyone in between. This is Tony's Political Ramblings, Season 2, Episode 4, I want to say. And so, the big piece of news coming out of yesterday would be the fact that Pfizer's and BioNTech's vaccine has been officially approved by the FDA. Up to this point, it was on emergency authorization use only, and it was only available, or it was not only, that was the highest clearance and approval that it was given from the Federal Drug Administration, or Food and Drug Administration, my apologies. But now that's changed, now that it's been officially approved past the emergency situation, it's got full approval from the FDA. So that's great. So that brings me to the crisis that is gripping the nation as we see it today. And that is the unvaccinated population and the lack of vaccinations that we're seeing across the United States and the surge of the Delta variant of COVID-19 as a result of that. And before we take a jump and start attacking these unvaccinated people as anti-vaxxers or conspiracy theorists, tinfoil hat wearers, it's important to take a step back and look at the fact that that's not the case, not entirely at the very least. There is definitely a subsection of the U.S. population that does not trust these vaccines, that have heard through various channels of disinformation, things that just aren't true about them. But a lot of unvaccinated people in the United States, and I'm not sure what percentage, but this is obviously a large chunk of it, are just people who don't have the means to get there and to do it. And, you know, a counter argument to that would be, well, it's free, right? What's the problem? Well, there are a number of problems, actually. In particular, this happens in a lot of black and brown neighborhoods in across the United States, but in cities in particular. You have individuals who work multiple jobs, who work long hours, who might not be able to have the time to go in and get a vaccine, especially if their employer doesn't cover it, doesn't offer them that time off. And on top of that, you have people in cities who don't have cars. I remember there was an effort, I'm mostly referencing, by the way, an article from The Atlantic that I will link in the description here. And so a lot of what I'm bringing up here is similar points and just sort of expanding on those points and fusing that with another article from NPR I've also linked. And so when you get into the cities, you have, like I said, this effort, though, to get a vaccination site within 5 miles of anyone, in the U.S. And that's a great initiative. And, you know, that works. But if you're in the city and if you live in the city and you're poor and you don't have a car and your nearest vaccination site is 4 miles away, or, you know, you're poor, you don't have access to transportation, that's a long 4 miles to walk. And that's a hard way to get to your vaccination site. And so while I do believe personally that the Biden administration has come a long way to make these vaccines available, there are still physical barriers for people to get them. And again, this is something that has impacted disproportionately black and brown communities all over the United States and poorer communities as well. So this is not a problem that is unique, actually, and I believe this is rather symptomatic of a larger failing of the healthcare system, because at this point, as I've said, there's been a vaccination site within 5 miles of, or you know, there should be at least a vaccination site within 5 miles of any given person in the United States. But in addition to the physical barriers, you also have the outreach barriers that come from these very these healthcare systems that are stripped to the bone, and they were stripped to the bone before COVID, and now after this pandemic has ravaged these systems for the last year and a half plus, at this point they're even worse off than when they started. And a great example of this, like I said, it's in the NPR article that I'm referencing, I'm going to leave in the description here, is the city of Detroit. The city of Detroit, they had a very robust healthcare system way back in the 1970s and the 80s. But gradually over time, as white flight happened and a lot of people moved out of the cities, they lost funding from tax cuts, things of that nature. The city's healthcare system really started to disintegrate. And in particular, this was really bad during the Great Recession. And as the article points out here, from 2008 to 2010, Detroit's public health department shed more than 70% of its employees. And so that's a huge number. That's a huge loss to take. And it's not really been able to recover since then. And again, this is before the pandemic. And so obviously, as a result of this, things like outreach campaigns, the ability to set up vaccination sites across the city of Detroit and I believe Wayne County, I'm not sure, the county around Detroit, it makes it difficult when the health department is strapped for cash and really doesn't have much of an option. And that's why, if you all remember way back when vaccines were first really starting to hit the mainstream in the U.S., there were these federal vaccination sites. I remember in particular at the Coliseum in Oakland, California, the Oakland Coliseum out there, they had a mass federal vaccination site. And that was in a way, I would imagine, to make up for the lack of state, local, and county sites that, again, these public health departments that are really strapped for cash just cannot provide in the same way. And even as of July 27th, the vaccination rate for the city of Detroit was only at 40.1%, which is much lower than even the surrounding areas. Wayne County at 65.4, Macomb County at 57.5, and then Oakland County at 68.7. So the city is lagging way behind. And again, I don't believe this is an issue of vaccine hesitancy, which is often thrown up on Black Americans in particular. I think it is more of a question of access and more of a question of outreach. And this COVID-19 vaccine problem that we're seeing here in Detroit is just a microcosm and one example of how the healthcare system in cities like Detroit and in places like Detroit all around the country, not even just cities, places all around the country that are strapped for cash and that don't have a lot of money left put aside for them in the budget and have to rely on private healthcare, really do end up not only putting the residents of their own city, town, or state at risk, they end up putting everyone at risk. How many cases of COVID can be exported from Detroit, from unvaccinated Americans like this? How many cases can come out all over the country because of that? How many cases of COVID can come from the state of Kansas? A town in Kansas who has a poor healthcare system, a particular town, I'm not sure which one, but just roll with me with an example. Poor healthcare systems and public health departments that are not funded properly, not only, like I said, not only hurt those in the immediate area, that they serve, but they hurt everyone. And so it ought to be that we take a little bit of time and a little bit of money to make sure that our health departments across the United States are up to snuff for the sake of everyone involved.